Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your presence with us tonight, Lord. We thank you with your anointing that's going to be upon us, Lord, that is upon us, Lord. And we praise you, Father, that tonight's going to be a special night. It's going to be a time of refreshing from your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that tonight's going to bring about prayers that are answered and praise reports and testimonies, Lord. And we just praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God. Greg Marlon and Gano's son, who lives here with us, recommended off the local blog a song called We Call Out to Dry Bones, Come Alive. And I heard the one by Dustin Smith. And boy, that is awesome. It's about our friends and our relatives and all of those that we just speak it. We call out to the dry bones to come alive, glory to God. And it just really went straight to my spirit. So praise God. And maybe a little bit later I can give you the lyrics to it. And it's really awesome. So anyway, do we have anybody that needs prayer? Marlene, did you want us to pray with you?
Marlene, you mean me?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I thought you said you wanted prayer.
No, but I could always use it.
We all could, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was mistaken then. Okay, does anybody need prayer?
Michael, it was me.
Oh, okay, Claudia. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just having a down day.
Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against that depressive spirit, that oppressive spirit that's on Claudia. We command it to go right now in Jesus' name. We command that dark cloud to go in the name of Jesus. We command every spirit that's hindering her walk and hindering her joy to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you are placing joy, you're placing peace, you're placing rest in her heart right now, even as we speak. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for what you're doing, what you've already done for Claudia in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord. Lord, we know you're in control, you're on the throne, and you ain't coming off. And that joy is gone into Claudia's heart right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Jesus' name. You believe that, Claudia?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Michael.
Yes.
Michael, I could use that prayer.
Okay.
The same one.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we command depression, we command oppression, we command darkness to go from Marlene right now in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, anybody else that's experiencing that, we command all of these dark demons to go from them in the name of Jesus. You foul spirits, you leave right now in the name of Jesus. You leave their joy alone in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, we bind you up and cast you off for everybody here in Jesus' name. Yeah. We thank you, Father, that your joy, those walls are coming down. We've blown in the trumpets of praise, and we praise you, Father, that the walls have come down. The joy has penetrated, and we have peace in the Lord in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for that. Glory, hallelujah. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Praise you, Father. Oh, my. I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Hi. Anybody else?
Michael, hi. This is Patricia. I just now came online. I'm sorry. I was a little bit late getting on.
Oh, that's okay.
I do need prayer. I the reason I was late is because, you know, I think I told you about bone deterioration, you know, that the dentist has told me. And so I've been using my Waterpik trying to get the bleeding to stop because it's like bleeding a whole lot, you know, and I've been in there trying to get it to stop. So I'm getting ready to put some gauze in my mouth. So if you can't understand me real well, then that's why. But can you, I don't want to have to go back to the dentist, and I don't know if my faith is where it should be. I want it to be big, you know, and I am staying in the Word, and I'm, you know, I'm looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus, you know, and I'm saying, Jesus, this is your tooth, this is your bone that's bleeding, and, you know, I fix it, Jesus, because it's you, it's not me, and so...
Well, let's do this, Patricia. Instead of just asking the Lord, let's command the bleeding to stop. That's what Jesus always did. He just commanded things. So we just command that bleeding to stop.
And command the bone to be restored also, because that's why it's bleeding, because of the bone, you know.
Okay. All right. We can do it. Everybody here, just believe with me in the name of Jesus right now. We command that jawbone to be straight, normal in Jesus' name. We command it to be completely healed in the name of Jesus. We command that blood to stop bleeding right now in Jesus' name. We command the gums to heal up. We command the tooth to be solid in that jawbone in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Patricia's teeth are healed, her jawbones are healed, and we're not going to do anything but now but believe, Lord, and we thank you for it. We're going to thank you from this point on that she is healed. Does everybody believe that with me?
Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. I do too.
Praise you, Lord.
So, praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
All right. Thank you, Father, that her jawbone and teeth are healed and her gums are healed in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father.
There's no more deterioration of the bone. The bone builds itself, restores itself back to normal.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Ooh, my.
Praise you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? That's a done deal, Patricia.
Amen. It is. I am so in the Word about this, you know, which I have been, you know, and I know it, maybe it's a trial, you know, of my faith, but like I said, I want my faith to be stronger. It's got to, you know, and I guess, and I've asked the Lord to make my faith stronger, and maybe this is what He's doing, putting me through something to encourage me to get stronger in my faith, but I do believe, you know, that the
Amen.
Lord healed.
Amen. So from now on, we thank the Lord for the healing. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
And just glorify Him. Just praise Him, you know, as you're walking through the house or whatever, you know. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. And it's done.
Amen.
It's a done deal. Praise you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else have a prayer request or would like to pray for somebody? How many of you want the dry bones to come alive? Those dry bones out there in them dead churches that have been deceived, that really love the Lord, but they don't know any better. How many of you want to call out to the dry bones for them to come alive? I do. I do.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You ever heard that song, Chad?
The hip bone connected to the...
No, I haven't, but I think I'm about to.
No, it's called, We Call Out to Dry Bones, Come Alive.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read these lyrics because, man, I got really fired up when I listened to it. It's a great song, too. Dustin Smith does it, the one that I listen to. There's a number of them that do it, but that's the one I listen to. It says, through the eyes of men, it seems, there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God. Yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with faith you're giving us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. And we call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. O God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter. Bring us back the wayward son. by your Spirit, breathe upon them and show that you alone can save. You alone can save. As we call out to dry bone, come alive, come alive. And we call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Come up out of them ashes. Let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bone, come alive, come alive. So breathe, O breath of God. Now breathe, O breath of God. Breathe, O breath of God. Now breathe. Now breathe. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. And then we call out to dead hearts to come alive, come alive. Come up out of those ashes. Let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. I don't do it justice, but those people that can sing, I'm telling you, I was listening to the words and the song just really got me to praying for the people that I've been praying for again, you know, and just commanding the dry bone to come alive. And I just thought I'd pass that along. I can't sing it, but I can sure talk it. Chad might be able to.
That's a winner, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. Greg recommended that to everybody. He said it really touched him the other day, and it really put him to praying, you know, and which it did me too. It's a good song. It's a good scriptural song. It's out of Ezekiel 37, as you probably already know.
I think that's my song tonight.
Amen.
Come alive, come alive, dead bones.
Yeah, that's right. Bust out of those ashes. Come alive, come alive.
Yes.
Praise God. All right. Let's see. Anybody got anything, any testimonies or praise reports they'd like to share tonight?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon. Go ahead, brother.
We're having trouble with our phone tonight. We've kicked off for a little bit there. I have a praise report. We've had a lot of storms in Nebraska the last few days, several tornadoes and a lot of hail and flooding and all kinds of stuff. And we was under a storm watch here just before the conference call came on, and there was some really bad-looking clouds coming just right for us, and we stood out there and watched them, and we just commanded them to go over or go around, and they went up and went over us, and we just praised the Lord because that's an awesome thing that we have that kind of control over those things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That reminds me, the other day, David and I were in the front room, and we heard this loud noise, and it was hail out there. And boy, we jumped up. We said, in the name of Jesus, you quit. Man, boy, and it wasn't 3 seconds. It was praise because of our prayer. Don't want hail on. But we went to praying, and it left with just in a few seconds. So you're right. We have authority over the weather, too. Praise God.
We had the hail thing last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And we commanded that to quit, too, and it did. And like you said, in a little bit, it quit. And there was places that had softball-sized hail here in Nebraska.
But not on God's chosen, who knows their authority, was it?
Well, I don't know
God.
Who was all under that, but I know there was places that had that's really big hail.
Amen. That is. That's big hail. That hurts you. Yeah.
It went through roof, they said.
My goodness. That's big hail. That's bad hail. Well, all right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise?
Michael, this is Gaynold. And I was
Gaynold,
you know, we've been praying for Tracy and her family over the situation there with their parents. And last week when she went down there, she said she really felt that the Lord answered prayers because he put people in their paths to give them information that they needed, you know, even though they were totally, you know, not even like, I think she stopped at a garage sale, and these people gave her information about this place they were going to check out, you know, and then her brother had gone someplace, and he was just looking for something else, but it happened to also be someone that they needed to know about, and so it was really pretty awesome. It was, you know, stuff that we couldn't plan out if we wanted to, but the Lord put those people in their path last week, and that was really awesome, and she was really thankful for the prayers and how God works through prayer. And I just wanted to share that because that is, it did make me feel really good that we all prayed and God was right there for them.
Amen. That power of prayer is awesome.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Yep.
Praise you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? You know what happens when you sing the praises of God? You get a big old smile from him. He said, no, up on that throne. I'm telling you, he does.
Well, let's just praise him for a while. If you feel like, does everybody feel like praising the Lord and just giving him all the glory for everything that he's done and what he's going to do?
Amen, Lord. We just thank you so much for the what you've done and what you're going to do. It looks like, Lord, you're fixing to put this this bride. You're fixing to pick this bride, and you're fixing to anoint the bride and the first fruits, Lord. And Lord, you have given us so many words here lately about that. And I just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in your people, and bringing them into that realm of the bride, Lord. And I just praise you, Lord, that you're getting rid of flesh. You're getting rid of world out of them. You're getting rid of all of those things that hindered us, Father. I just praise you, Father, for that. And you're giving us warnings to make us aware that you know what's going on. And you're laying things out on the table even as we speak. You give us dreams and visions about a certain, you know, things that are going on. And you expose the enemy. And Father, we just praise you for that so we can repent and come back into the realm of the bride. And Lord, we just praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that the work that you've done in each one of us, Father, there's no way we can express our love and our thanks to you, Lord, other than just with our mouth and with our heart and with our obedience, Lord. And I just praise you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for placing the love in our hearts for each other, placing that golden needle with that golden thread that knitting all of our hearts together, Father, and pulling it tight so that we're closer and closer with each other, which puts us in closer and closer with you, Lord, abiding in Christ with one another. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. I praise you, Father, for doing that for us in Jesus' name. You know, every time the Israelis went out against the enemies, they'd send the praise team first, wouldn't they? So that's what we do. We praise the Lord for the victory already. You may not see it, but you know it's there, and you just praise him for it. So I just praise you, Lord, for the victory in my life. I praise you, Lord, for the victory for all of those people that I prayed for over the years, Lord. I know you're going to bring them in the name of Jesus. They're going to come alive. Them dry bones is getting meat on them right now, even as we speak. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to share. I think it's interesting that Greg shared that song. We had such a wonderful time visiting with you guys over the weekend, and it was nice to see Greg and catch up with him. But it was such a anointed teaching that you and David gave there Saturday. And when I got home over the weekend, I was asking the Lord what I could do to follow through and to do my part. And I had a dream. I don't know. I think it was Saturday or Sunday night. I can't remember which. And as I was waking up from the dream, I realized I was waking up. I said, oh, Lord, just show me what you want me to know. And the interesting thing is I forgot the dream, but I remembered what he wanted me to know. And in this dream that I had, it was real quick. It was something to do with a group of people in some area. and they were all just looking straight ahead. They had these blank faces and these open eyes, and they just had blank faces. And the Lord was showing me that, and I want to encourage everybody that's on the call or that will listen to the call in the future, I would just want to exhort you and to pray for you and with you that you try to share the good news with these people and everybody around you, and the things that you say or the things that you do or the prayers that you pray or the interceding that you do for other people. Because in the dream, all at once, some of the people started to wake up, and some of the people started to accept and receive the good news. And I think the overlying point is that wherever we go, whatever we do, that we share the good news, and that's our part. And no matter if it's what we're doing, what we're saying, or what we're praying for, it's up to us to help bring the people into the kingdom. And I just wanted to share. I thought that really went well with the song that Greg found for you, and I just wanted to add the witness there.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for the dreams that you give us, that encourage us and show us where we are. I think it was last. That's when the anointing comes. When that bride gets full, the room was almost full, she said, and that means very, very soon this thing is going to happen. So praise God. And anyone else want to praise the Lord with your lips?
Michael?
Yeah, Barry. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. When at the beginning, when we were praying about oppression and stuff, I received that for myself because I just had a dark cloud over me today and didn't know exactly why. And boy, it just lifted. So praise God for that.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise God. Well, we had the same thing happen last night with some people that we were praying for somebody else, and they got the same thing, you know. It lifted off of them as well. So praise God.
Great.
All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to praise and thank God that I had a decision to make a few days ago because my relatives in Texas were all having a reunion, and I was having to make a decision because it was for Memorial Day weekend, and I didn't know what to do because I felt like not going, and I felt like going, but I just felt an oppression about going because, you know, they're some of them are Christians, but not very strong and things, and I thought, well, maybe I could go and help them, but I felt like I just wasn't strong enough to do that, you know, like I would maybe get just depressed, you know, being around the kind of things they'd be around. And so I was praying, and I just felt like God just showed me to just say no and just that he was with me. And he also told me that I have another family. And so I just wanted to thank him for that and to praise him for that because I know he's faithful. So I thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he's always with us. And when he asks you to go somewhere, he's going to be there with you, going to give you the words. And praise God. Yeah, it's awesome when he's in charge. Anyone else? Anybody else want to praise the Lord for what he's done in your life? All right, has anybody got any revelations they'd like to give that the Lord has showed you? Right before we got on tonight, I'm trying to find it, so bear with me here a minute. I asked the Lord to give me a word for all of us here on the conference call. Let's see, is in Psalm 44. It was 44. Well, y'all bear with me here a minute. I'll find it. Thought I wrote it down somewhere, but I guess. Anybody else get a word for today? Somebody needs to mute their phone unless they're going to talk.
It's probably my phone because I don't have a mute button on my phone.
Okay, here it is. Thou, this is starting out in verse 2. It said, Thou didst drive out the nations with thy hand, but them thou didst plant. Thou didst afflict the peoples, but them thou didst spread abroad. For they get not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou wast favorable unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverance for Jacob. So what the Lord is telling us is nothing that we've ever done in our Christian walk. It's all been done by the Lord, hasn't it? Through our faith and our acting on that faith. That's what he's telling us right there. We didn't drive the demons out by ourselves. We allowed the Lord to do it, to clean us up and get us ready for this great thing that's fixing to come upon the scene. Praise God. All right. Anybody else get a word today?
I got 2 Corinthians 4:13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore did I speak. We also believe, and therefore we also speak.
You said 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14?
Verse 13.
Oh, okay. All right. Amen. Yep, we speak by faith. We speak as an oracle of God, don't we?
Also says we all speak together in the same way. So,
yep.
That magnifies our ability to get things done.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good word. All right, anybody else?
Yes, Michael, I have something, I believe.
Okay.
I was thinking Saturday night at the meeting when we were visiting there, we're talking about praying in the Spirit and in tongues and Jude 20 and what that says, 20 and 21. And I was thinking about how it says, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How in Romans it says, you know, we, in Romans 8, that we don't know how to pray as we ought to, and that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And I was tying that into mercy, you know, because that's what I've seemed to have been doing lately a lot is just crying out for mercy in the Spirit and not knowing what, you know, I know there's stuff in me that's not right, that's not supposed to be there, but I don't know what it is. I can't place what it is, but through praying in the Holy Spirit, I believe, well, I was thinking of where Jesus talks about the man that cried out, you know, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I know that I was looking at the Greek where what it says about that there, and I guess that's not all of what that means, or it's not what the commentaries say that that's talking about. They're talking about it's looking for, you know, awaiting eagerly the mercy when Jesus returns, they say. But I was taking it to mean also just crying out for mercy, that by the Spirit, you know, because I've just been going through that a lot where I just pray, and I feel an urgency, and it's a desperation for mercy from God, but I don't know what it is, and I just... I'm just so grateful for that gift that we can do that, that we can cry out, and that God will meet whatever that is and eliminate it or restore it or whatever needs to happen.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. Yeah. Cry out, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Lord, for crying out for mercy in the Spirit for each one of us. Amen. Hey, Marlon, you got a mute button on that phone? Yeah, I'll go ahead and mute you. Okay. So if I mute you, all you need to do is hit **, and that'll get you back in if you need to say something. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share that the Lord's telling you? Or would like to praise the Lord for something that he's done for you? All of us need to praise him for our salvation, don't we? Walking in this salvation, bringing us to the fruition of our salvation.
Amen, and for the long-suffering and for giving us the understanding of his word and opening it up to us and strengthening us through our time when we can't go on and bringing us up out of the pit. And I just praise the Lord for it. So daily he's strengthening me. I get scared, you know, sometimes, and I rebuke it, and I just praise the Lord that he's always there, and he lets me know that. He brings comfort to my heart. And for my brothers and sisters that have prayed and encouraged me, so I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael. We couldn't hear her at all. Is anybody else having a problem hearing other people?
Well, I heard her real plain, so I don't know. Is anybody else having trouble hearing Cheryl?
Hello.
I heard it okay.
Yeah, this is Don. She's loud and clear with us.
Uh-oh. Well, in the name of Jesus, we command that phone to stands, the speaker to be working good in Jesus' name. Command it to open up right now in Jesus' name. Can you hear me okay, Stan?
Yeah, you're coming in fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, anyone else?
Hello?
Also, I don't want to just be praising the Lord for myself. I want to praise the Lord for the work that he's doing in my family and in my friends. And it's just an awesome thing to see him work in people and just like our prayers and see them work instead of us trying to, you know, persuade people and force them, you know, because the Lord's delivered me from Jezebel spirit and try to control the way that I was brought up. And so it was just passed on down the line. So I'm breaking that generational curse and I'm praising the Lord for seeing how our prayers work and how he works, how he moves through people. And it's just an awesome thing to see how he answers our prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We know that we call those things that are not as though they were, and we just keep thanking him for them. Praise God. Yep, until we see things happen. We just know it's already happened. All right, anybody else? I think, Andrew, you were going to talk.
No, I just had a verse from 1 Corinthians 12:27. It's a very simple verse. It's kind of like 1:27 in Colossians. It says, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you good.
Now ye are Christ's body and several members thereof. And, you know, it's just, when I read it, you know, I guess I passed over it so many times, I just, you know, really didn't think of that verse to be so simple and such a short verse. And it's like Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
kind of reminds you when you partake of the bread and the wine.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's always a mystery to us, or to me anyway, that just like you said, Andrew, that you can be reading and read over something, and all of a sudden it'll just come alive. And it'll mean multiple things to you as well. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Yes, Michael, I'm going to read a scripture.
All right, Vanessa, go ahead.
Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. In other words, opening up your spiritual eyes, your heart, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, praise be to God. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. That's believers. That's who believe the promises, who believe what the word of God says. According to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, if Jesus is our head, we're the body, we're all one in the body of Christ. We have the same authority that he has. That's what he's talking about, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. If you believe it, you got the whole blessings of heaven available to you because Jesus is sitting up there on our behalf. Praise God. Is there anybody that don't believe that? I think we all believe that. It's a matter of getting it into our spirit and putting it into action. Praise God. Ooh, I believe God is fixing to do something. My goodness, with every one of us. I do. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael. John and I took his mother to church, to her church, for Mother's Day. And she goes to St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in our town. And I'm sorry, I don't know which synod that they are of, but their church is facing the whole homosexual issue about whether they should embrace it or not. And they're going through all these, I think they're bringing in independent, aren't they, Don, independent consultants?
Yeah.
And to try to help them make this decision as to whether they should be tolerant and inclusive and all that stuff. And I just thought they can't be the only church that's facing that. Can we pray for them?
Absolutely. Yes, we can. And everybody will believe, too. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this is a critical time for your word, Lord. It's your word that the standard ought to be, not some consultant that doesn't know the word. Father, we just praise you that you're going to put wisdom in these people. You're going to infuse the leadership in this church, Lord, with wisdom and knowledge, that they don't want to go against what your word says, Father, and be a sure enough apostate church. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to put a hunger for the word of God, the truth of the word of God in the leadership in this church. And Lord, and if they're not able to accept it because of the religious spirits. We ask and we pray, Lord, that you get your chosen out of there in the name of Jesus. But Lord, we're going to look for a miracle. We're going to look for a miracle in this church. We're going to look for somebody that's going to step forward with the truth of the gospel and who wants to line up that church with the word of God. And Father, we praise you that he's going to step forward soon and everybody's going to be behind him. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Has the Lutheran church as a whole given in to this thing? Or do y'all know?
Well, there's area, there's two synods. One is very conservative to the point where if you're a Mason, you're not welcome as a member. So that's the one really conservative one. I think that they're probably pretty well established in the word from, you know, this is what the word says. But this the other one is much more liberal. They have a female pastor, and it wouldn't necessarily surprise us if she was driving this.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that just like I prayed before, Lord, that you would just separate your chosen from them if this thing comes to pass. I know your judgment's coming, Lord, and I know that we can pray against it for your chosen. We can pray protection for your chosen, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for getting out your chosen. And this is your mother?
Yes.
Okay. And Father, we thank you for opening up her eyes to the truth in Jesus' name.
She's pretty much declared that if they move in that direction, that she'll be moving out. So we're grateful for that.
Amen.
Very grateful for that. And there are other really wonderful believers that are within that congregation, and there are probably a lot of soul ties there, a lot of people that will find it difficult to break away from that. But, they need our prayers for sure. So appreciate the prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, that's what's happening all across the nation. He's bringing judgment.
Yeah.
He's bringing judgment. And praise God for the people who make the right decision. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else?
I can talk a little more on Lutheran Church. I know a little more about it just because I'm from that. There's two synods. There's one that's a Missouri Synod, and there's a Wisconsin Synod. The Missouri Synod is far more conservative than the Wisconsin. The Wisconsin is floating more liberal, like you're talking with the woman pastor, and now they're trying to indoctrinate the homosexuals in. So actually there's another group up here that did the same thing. They're top of my head can't get it to my head what they are. They're very much Calvinist, but at the same time they're also allowing the homosexuals to come through and accept them as full members, and it's okay to be gay and to still be
talking about
Christian. Well, I'm not sure Episcopals are going that direction yet. I think they kind of are, aren't they? I don't know.
Oh yeah, I think they've led the way, to be honest with you, from the mainline denominations. I mean, they've been. We have a split in our town in Baraboo here as well within the Episcopal Church, and it has to do with doctrine. And it's pretty hush hush. Nobody's really talking about it. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's not this homosexual issue that really has split the Episcopal Church wide open across the country.
It's also the Christian Reformed Church. I was thinking about the Christian Reformed.
Oh, it is. Okay. Are you from the Wisconsin area?
No, but I'm from Michigan, and the Lutheran Church is up here too. I came from the Missouri Synod, and I actually was there for a number of years. My wife still is. She's generational. I'm not. So I know what that generational spirit's all about. It doesn't break easy. You can bring them the truth, and they don't want it. It shuts them down. And you got the Nicolaitan. You do have the Nicolaitan spirit in all these churches. It's carried on, you know, from the Catholic Church. That's another thing they got to break from and see. So even though they might be getting the gospel, they don't have the power behind it. Because they don't have the power behind it, the pastors don't believe it's there, and they're not going to teach it because they don't have it. And if you come across them and start talking faith, they'll tell you, I've had a pastor read out and say, you'll never be perfect. And that, you know, I talked about healing to him once because he had some kind of a blood disorder, and it was a curse, of which it all is. And he flat out just denied that was not possible. And they try to make you the evil person because you're bringing in new light that they don't want to hear. It's not new. It's the gospel. But they'll try to find a way to say that it's not true and make you out to be the one that's the heretic. So these wolves in sheep clothing is what they are running the churches. And that's what you're seeing are the wolves. So I think this is God's way to drive people out of the churches, to drive his people out and leave the rest, leave the apostates, the ones that won't believe, the ones that don't want to change or don't want to see the truth, and that's the ones that are driven in their heart that there's something wrong. I think this is now God's opportunity that we should pray for, that this is a time that's going to open their eyes. I think that's the way he's going to do it. He's going to drive out his out of the church, and the rest he's going to leave. That's kind of what I'm thinking is happening.
Well, the word says he's for us to separate ourselves from them. And that's what a lot of people have been doing over the last few years, is coming out of the mainline denominational churches because of the Lord's prodding and showing them, you know, opening up their eyes, their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears to see. You know, and even some of these Baptists Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Church of Christ, all of the people coming out of getting filled with the Holy Spirit and just getting on fire for God. We're seeing a revival up here in West Virginia now, and it's over into North Carolina. It's out in Portland on the West Coast there. And it's starting to build, and I believe this is the John the Baptist revival. Repent and believe, and boy, this is awesome. This is awesome to watch these kids love on the Lord, and the Lord love on them the way he's doing it. Now, what we've been doing here locally is praying against those wolves in sheep's clothing that David was talking about, from infiltrating this revival that those kids are going through right now. And don't get me wrong, there's adults involved too, but it's mostly high school kids and college kids that are that the Lord is using right now. You know, he said in a lot of prophecies early on in the past years that it would start with the youth. And that's what he's doing. He's starting it with the youth right now. And praise God for it, you know. There's all kinds of kids from every – they're tired. Kids are getting tired of going to these dead churches where there's nothing going on but, you know, just this dead religion. And they're seeking a God that is alive. They're seeking a God that's full of love and seeking a God that can deliver them from the bondages that they're in, you know. They want to see a light somewhere, and God is pouring that light out to them, praise God. And they are coming into him by the droves. And I just praise God for this. And that's something that every one of you ought to be doing, is keep on praying against those false wolves in sheep clothing from infiltrating this revival, that it not be caught up into that kundalini spirit, that false revival spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. You've put up a wall, that you're going to punish anyone that tries to infiltrate that revival, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yep, God's doing something. He's doing something quickly. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, David.
Yeah, I'd like to I'd like to offer prayer that, Father, you just open people's eyes and the ones that are coming out, that they can start seeing and understand what a wolf is. And when the wolf, when the, Satan tries to drive them back in or coax them back in, that they see the deception, that that person gives away their true character, and they realize there's something wrong, that you trip them in the spirit and let these people know, hey, I don't feel comfortable about this, so they can seek it out and understand what it is that you're trying to lead them away from, Father. You bring them by protection, and you show them in their spirit who is true and who is not, Father. We ask that wisdom. We ask for that discernment for all your people, for all your elect, Father, that you're calling now, all your chosen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a clean revival, one that'll take us all the way through the tribulation, Lord. Thank you, Father, at least through the first 3.5 years, Father, that this thing break out and go across this world like a tornado, in Jesus' name, like wildfire, like the fire of the Holy Spirit go across this land, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, on the radio today, I was listening. The Voice of the Martyrs had shared that in China that persecution is getting heavier. Some pastor was having a meeting, and armed men broke into the meeting and dragged him off and harassed some of the parishioners, and they beat him up and then put him in prison for 4 years. So things are escalating there, so they were asking for prayer there too.
Yeah, you know, I'd seen something about that. I've read a few books about the Chinese men and women that have been persecuted over there over the years. But you're right, they got a little slack here in recent years, but now they're cracking back down for whatever reason. Father, we thank you for your chosen vessels in China, Father. We thank you, Lord, for infusing them with faith. We thank you, Lord, and joy and love and peace, Father, and the truth. And, Lord, we thank you that you're making some mighty warriors for yourself over there, Lord, spiritual warriors we're talking about. And, Father, we thank you for your protection upon all your chosen over there, Father, that for whatever reason, Lord, that you would protect them and take them to the places that you want them to minister, Lord. May be in prison, it may be somewhere else, Lord, I don't know. But they already are experiencing tribulation over there, Father, and we thank you for your protection upon them. Thank you, Lord, for teaching them faith and how to believe, Lord, for your protection. And we praise you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work over there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them, all your chosen, and taking them to places of safety, Father, in Jesus' name. Protect your bride over there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All of those Asian countries that are atheistic and or some other kind of religion, Hindu, Muslim, any of those, Lord, we thank you for protecting all of your chosen vessels over there, Father, for the time ahead, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael. We get a magazine from the Voice of the Martyrs, and I was reading that the other day, and they said that one of the churches that had started with, well, it was a home church, started with 20 people back in the year 2000, and in 16, they have over 700 members, and the members have to put up with the government will come to their house and break in their house at night, and they'll get them up and they make them sign papers that they won't go to church, and still all that, and the church is still growing. And you look at here in the United States, people can go to church anytime they want to and they don't do it.
Yeah, yeah, and people are getting killed over there for it too, Marlon. You know, it's just
yeah.
It's an atrocity that's going on over there. Those people have been through a lot of tribulation for the church, for the Christian church over there. Praise God. And this church over here hadn't been through it, but they're fixing to go through it. And the Lord's going to just clean them up and bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way, those that are his.
As a type, I would think China's a church of Smyrna, like in Book of Revelation. Would that sound about correct, as much as they go through?
Amen. Yep. All right, anybody else? Okay. I want to talk a little bit tonight about Holy Spirit baptism and how to receive the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And in Acts chapter 2 and verses 32 and 33, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you see now and hear." Now, there's a... we can see that God gave that gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and it's been available ever since then. And it's up to each individual to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And listen, you don't beg God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, because when you beg for something, that's unbelief. And what does faith do? Faith shouts the victory. So we just praise God when somebody has prayed for us, or you're seeking it, you praise God once you have been prayed for to receive it, or once that you have asked the Lord, then you just start shouting the victory. When in John 14 it says, "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you," that he dwelleth with you is upon salvation. He's with you at that time. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's when he infuses inside of you. He gets inside of you then. And then he indwells inside of you. He directs your paths in, and he infuses you with the power to overcome sin and the curse. And he overcome those things that God wants us to overcome, right? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody that is saved has the opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the only qualification to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is to be saved. And there's a lot of man-made traditions that fly around in our full gospel theology. A lot of people think they got to do certain things or clean up their lives before they receive the Holy Spirit. If we could clean up our lives ourselves, what would we need the blood of Jesus for? Man, we're blood washed, blood bought, and if you're saved, you're clean too by faith, aren't you? But a lot of people get this silly idea that they got to do something to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't do anything for a gift. It ceases to be a gift if you got to work for it. In the past, I've heard of people tell me about what they did and what they gave up to receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't give up anything. When I became a child of God, and I found out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I became a child of God, by the way, my nature changed right then. I quit doing a lot of things that I was doing and started doing what the Lord was telling me to do. The Lord was cleaning me up from day one. There's a change that comes inside of you when you're born again. Your spirit is recreated, and if you're saved, you are ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You ain't got to do anything but to ask the Lord to receive it. And you need to expect to receive the Holy Spirit when you ask for it or somebody prays you for you to have it. You need to expect that you're going to get it right then. Not thinking it's going to be something in the future. Think of this going to happen right then. And what you need, when you are prayed for the Holy, to receive the Holy Spirit, or when you ask for to receive the Holy Spirit, you start acting by speaking with your mouth. The Holy Spirit will act on your vocal cords and your lips and your tongues, and He'll put the supernatural words on your lips. But listen, you got to put the sound into action and speak out. He says the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, but man does the speaking. You have to speak it out. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they is the subject of the sentence. They did the talking. The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. So you got to open up your mouth if you're going to receive, okay? Acts chapter 10 and verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts chapter 19 and verse 6 says, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So there's two things that are evidence of the receiving of the Holy Spirit right there. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Doesn't mean you have to do both of them, but one of them is necessary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, Acts 19 and 6 says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So we can expect that when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, he's going to speak in tongues, or he's going to prophesy, or both, as the Spirit gives utterance. Listen to me now. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongue. The Holy Spirit does not take our tongues and talk, okay? We do the speaking in tongues. He gives us the utterance of what to say. Nowhere in the New Testament does it state that the Holy Spirit speaks in tongue. It's always the individual that does the speaking, but the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. You know, there's a lot of some people out there, they'll say, I'm afraid I'm going to receive in the flesh. Well, listen, there ain't no other way to receive it other than in the flesh. That speaking in tongues is men and women in the flesh worshiping God in the Spirit. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, where it's promised, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Listen, you need to disregard any kind of fear that you got from foolish people out there who have told you that you might receive something counterfeit. Okay? I've heard that a number of times. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get the wrong spirit. I'm afraid I'm going to, somebody needs to mute their phone. Might receive a demon if that happened. Well, listen, in Luke chapter 11, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So, when you are receiving and asking to receive the Holy Spirit, you need to open your mouth wide. That's an act of faith. Breathe in and then tell God, I am receiving the Holy Spirit right now by faith. Glory to God. When Jesus said, come drink, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. When a person takes a drink of water, he opens his mouth, don't he? He takes a breath. You can't take a drink of water with your mouth closed. You can't receive the Holy Spirit with your mouth closed either. So they don't need to speak. Also, you don't need to speak English at all. Your mind can't enter into this. It's your spirit that does this. It's your heart. And you need to relax. And you need to boldly, fearlessly lift your voice up and make those supernatural sounds that want to come, working your tongue and lips as if he were speaking your own language, the English language. And that when you speak in tongues, it's in cooperation fully with the Holy Spirit. And you need to expect that the Holy Spirit, when you open your mouth to talk, is going to give you the words. That your tongue is going to want to say something. And that's so in every case that I've seen when they received it. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance. The person has got to do the talking. The supernatural part is what's being said. It's not who's talking, right? And when you see the Holy Spirit move on your lips and your tongue, you need to speak those sounds that are easiest to speak, regardless of what they are. It may sound foolish to you. That's okay. It's the Lord. That's faith. He is lifting his voice and trusting God for guidance when you do that. And you need to go on, keep on speaking, praising God with those supernatural words until a free, clear language comes forth out of you. And you have that inner assurance that you have received. That's what happened to me when I was in my shop at that time. I started speaking. I opened my mouth and started speaking. It didn't make a bit of sense to me, but I didn't care. I just started speaking it. Breathing in the Holy Spirit of God. And when you look at God, you just breathe him in and you drink in and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's two ways that those utterances come. A lot of people hear the supernatural words that form inside of them. And the words, they'll bubble up from your stomach up until they're spoken through the mouth. And another way is sometimes they flutter their lips. They might feel a tightening of the jaw, and your tongue might feel thick or something like that. But the Holy Spirit does this because the lip and tongue are the organs we use to form words. This is the way he gives us utterance, and he prompts us to speak. But we have to speak out the sounds ourselves. You get full by drinking. Ephesians 5:18-19 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit. So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And those spiritual songs spoken of there don't mean songs out of a songbook. They mean songs given by the Holy Spirit, singing in the Spirit of God. That's an awesome time. I read about people who sing in the Spirit in an assembly, and they all spoke and they all sang the same thing, and it sounded like a heavenly choir. God's bringing that back. Praise God. So that's a kind of a synopsis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It's a short synopsis. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And I speak in tongues too. Tongues edify you. We talked about it last week a little bit. Tongues edify you. It builds up your faith. It builds up your faith for you. And it also is the power, the Holy Spirit is the power that overcomes the sin in your life, helps you to overcome it. He's that power that's endued from on high, that dunamis power, that Holy Ghost power. And we all need it. We're all going to have it in the days ahead. And that that tongues also, or I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit also guides you. He teaches you the Word of God. Open up your eyes of understanding to see the revelations that God has for you. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, because I believe God wants everybody filled with the Holy Spirit that's not, for the times ahead. And I'm going to ask, if anybody has not been filled with the Holy Spirit, to ask. We'll pray for you, and God's going to do it. Anybody has not been filled with the Holy Spirit that wants the Holy Spirit?
Michael, Joe Young?
Yeah, Joe.
I'm not sure how to explain this. Last year, you prayed for me, and I didn't receive tongues. When I asked the Lord for it, he gave me Isaiah 58:8. And I took that, how do you explain this, literally. I didn't accept it as already been done. I tried to plead the Lord for giving me, and I didn't receive anything, but I'm sure it's, I don't believe it. I don't speak it out. Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, I was talking to you, Joe. You couldn't hear me because I was muted. I said, we're going to pray for you, and you're going to open your mouth, you know, whether you're on mic or not. It doesn't make any difference, but you're going to start speaking what the Lord gives you, okay?
Amen.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Joe is desiring the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord. And Lord, I ask and I pray that right now that your Holy Spirit is going into Joe right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to open up his mouth and speak in tongues obediently. As your word said, Joe, open your mouth, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and start breathing out the words that he gives you in Jesus' name. That's what the word says. That's what we do. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, by faith. Glory be to God. Y'all be praying in the spirit for Joe, okay? Thank you, Father, that Joe is baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, you open your mouth and start speaking, Joe. He'll come out. You feel those words forming up on the inside of you, and just speak them out. Just speak them out. You got to open up your mouth to do it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Praise you, Lord. There you go. Praise you, Lord. Amen. That sounds like you got it, brother. Yes, you go ahead and you get offline and you go speak and praise God as long as you can.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for filling up Joe with the Holy Spirit, Father, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay, anyone else? That's awesome. Thank you, Father.
Can we ask if anybody doesn't speak in tongues here?
Anybody don't speak in tongues that would like to speak in tongues? It's just a necessary part of being a Christian. It's a command of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait there, and they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have to go to Jerusalem, do we? And we don't have to wait, because after the Pentecost experience, people were baptized in the Holy Spirit almost immediately. Some of them at salvation, when they asked for it, they started speaking in tongues. I've seen that happen as well. I know that, each experience is different. Each one is different when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mine was supernatural, and it was awesome experience for me, but not everybody gets that. Not everybody gets it, but that's okay, as long as you're doing it, as long as you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Michael?
Yes?
I didn't get on until 8 o'clock, but I really appreciate this evening what you're teaching. I'm trying to help some Baptist women here in Oklahoma, and I've given them this scripture in Mark 16. Let's see. 16. In 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And I was trying to explain to them that shall means God expects it. And, of course, we also, cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and all of that. I wanted to tell you about my mother, who was a Baptist forever. She played the piano and taught in Sunday school when I was a young girl. And so finally, she loved God, and she finally saw that there was just something more. And she wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so she was living in Alaska at that time, and so she started searching for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, went to many different Pentecostal churches, to try to get it. She didn't get it. So after a year of trying, she gave up and said, well, it must not be for everyone, like the Baptists are right. And so she relaxed and just went about her business. One day, she was in the shower, relaxed. All of a sudden, but she knew God's voice. She heard God say, raise your hands. And so she raised her hands in the shower. God baptized her with the Holy Ghost, and she ended up speaking 8 different languages. And with her hands up for an hour. She knew it was an hour because she knew when she went in, she knew when she got out of the shower. So sometimes people, like once you ask for it, you have it. And in her case, she just had to, it was like a year, but she was just relaxed and finally received it. So the people that are wanting it tonight, if they ask for it, they have it, and they will speak with a new tongue. So I just wanted to add that, because sometimes it's so hard, for especially Baptist people. But Mother finally had it. And one day, let me tell you this. Of course, I guess she had diverse kinds of tongues. And she was in a church service one day, and she was in everyone was leaving. And all of a sudden, she felt like she was to go up to this strange man. So she went up to him, started speaking in a language that she didn't know what it was. He said, you have just spoke in perfect Hebrew, and it changed this man's life. So God just loves to do fun things with us to grow his kingdom. And so I just wanted to add that today.
Amen. You know, the great thing about it is we don't have to wait a year. We don't have to wait 6 months. We don't have to wait any time at all.
All we have to do
is open our mouth and just start speaking it and allow the Holy Spirit to, He wants to give it to you. All we have to do is just have the faith to open up our mouth and do it. Don't worry about what people are thinking. Don't worry about what people are saying. Don't make any difference. They've already spoken tongues. They're waiting, you know. They're wanting you to get that experience for yourself, because tongues is an edification for yourself.
Yes, praise God. I agree with that.
You know, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. And when your spirit prays, that's the perfect prayer. And you're going directly to God. And all the prayers that are prayed in the spirit are answered. All of them. Because that's the perfect will of God that's coming out. Praise God. So a lot of times here, if we're praying for something specific, we'll ask the Lord to pray through us in the Spirit for those things that we have missed. Because, you know, a lot of times our minds get involved with our praying, but the Spirit is the Spirit, and it comes directly from Him. And that Spirit language is the language of God, and He's praying with us, through us, the perfect will of God. So that's the perfect prayer. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to add? Praise God. Anybody got anything they'd like to ask about the baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Hello, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
I just was recalling when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was just so excited that night because we had gone to a meeting and came home, and I was just praying while I was, you know, we got home like in the middle of the night, and I was laying there praying. All at once, I see this little demon just pacing back and forth and along the wall and in the bedroom, just mumbling and grumbling to himself with his hands behind his back. And I thought, he thinks he's defeated. Anyway, I thought it was kind of a cool thing. I was just really excited about that.
Amen. Yeah, I did that one night. Not too long ago either. It's just a few months ago. Maybe 8 or 10 months ago. I woke up. And there was two, looked like identical twin demons standing over my bed. And I did get scared. They were big. They were looked like translucent demons with blue blood veins. Now, that's just what I saw, okay? That's just a weird-looking demon. And I just told them, I said, what are y'all doing in here? Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And instantly they disappeared. So yeah, it gives us the power, you know. The fear goes out the window when the Holy Spirit comes in, if you know your authority. Now, I have had the times when the seeing demons scared me, you know. That's been a long time ago. I found out real quick they have to bow down to the Lord in you, right? They got to go.
Yeah, I know. I think I've shared this before. I know one time someone had asked me to pray for a couple, and I really didn't know, had never met them, but when I was praying for them, it was just like a demon just came like out of the closet. It was like a real black wolf-like creature just came out of there, just really snarling. And so I knew then that this couple really did need prayer, and he wasn't appreciating my prayers at all. But it that was the first time that had ever happened to me like that, that I, you know, as I was praying, that there was such a reaction from a demon. But that one time there was.
Oh. Amen. You know, speaking in tongues, it provides a way for situations to be prayed for that you don't know about or you even think about. But the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, doesn't he? The word says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in articulate speech included in that is speaking in tongues. Now, I want to tell you a little story here that I read about, and I'm going to relate it to you. Two young Assemblies of God missionaries left their native England for Africa. Several years later, while one was home on furlough, a young woman asked him if he had kept a diary. He replied that he had. About 2 years earlier, she recounted, she had been awakened during the night, feeling an urgent need to pray. She had prayed in tongues for about an hour. Then she had a vision of a grass hut. She saw a young white man, and the rest were natives. She saw him die, and the natives covered him up and went outside. And suddenly, she saw him come out of the hut and stand in their midst. And all the natives began to rejoice. And the young woman asked the missionary if he had ever had an experience like that. He had. While his partner was in another territory, he had contracted a deadly fever. After comparing dates and making allowances for differences in time, the missionary and the young woman discovered that she had been praying for him in exactly the same hour of his need. The Spirit of God had provided a way for things to be prayed for that needed to be prayed for, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Another missionary to Africa tells of a similar experience. He and a native worker hired a boat to take them on an island to preach. And on their return journey that night, a tropical storm suddenly came up. And the vessel's owner told him if they stayed out, the boat would overturn and all would drown. Yet if they sailed close to shore, they'd hit the reefs. He asked the missionary what he wanted to do. The missionary replied, "It's your boat. What do you want to do? What do you think would be best?" The man answered that he'd rather take a chance with the reefs. The missionary and the native worker had prayed and said, "All right, let's go." And he related that as they neared the reefs, suddenly it felt as if the boat were lifted up and carried over the water. The missionary said that he, the native worker, and the two or three sinners, including the owner, witnessed this miraculous event. God literally lifted the sailboat up over the reefs and into safe water. The following week, the missionary was visiting another mission station, and a woman missionary asked if he had been in trouble the previous Monday night about 10 o'clock. And he asked why. She said she had gone to bed early that night, and as she was planning to leave the following morning on a trip. But about 10 o'clock, she was awakened with such a burden to pray that all she could do was pray in tongues and groan in the Spirit. She said, "I didn't know what it was, but I seemed to have the impression that you were in trouble, and I just had to pray for you." And he had told her what had been happening to him at exactly the same time she had been praying for him. Praise God. You know, the Spirit knows everything, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. And Gaino, you were talking about, Linda, talking about your mother praying in the Spirit, and the guy understood that it was Hebrew. Sandy, here locally, Sandy Shaw, told us a story about when she was praying in a church one time in the Spirit, and afterwards, there were two Chinese ladies sitting behind her. And afterwards, the two Chinese ladies, who were not saved at all, came up to her and told her, said, "You speak Chinese." And she said, "No, don't do it. I don't speak Chinese." She said, "Oh, yeah, you speak Chinese. You speak it very well." She said, "No, I don't speak Chinese." She said, and the Chinese lady told her, she says, "When you were praying in there, you were speaking Chinese." And Sandy said, "Oh, okay." Said, "What did I say?" And she said, "The Lord told us that He was the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords." And it brought those women to Christ because of it. So, yeah, tongues is good for bringing people to the Lord, too. Praise God. Amen. Has anybody else got a similar story about praying for somebody in the spirit and finding out later that it, you know, helped them? Or praying in the spirit and somebody listening that knew the language?
I heard a story about a guy that was by a reservation area, and he picked up an Indian. And this guy that he picked up, the Indian, was kind of a drunk, real wild, kind of crazy guy. And as they were going down the road, and the guy next to him, of course, he was a Christian. And he was just, you know, thought he would just give this guy a lift and be kind and everything else. Well, the Indian started just getting mad and angry, and he started beating his hands on the dash. And the guy started praying. He didn't know what to do. He just started praying. Pretty soon his mouth opened up, and he starts speaking out of tongue, and he didn't know what he was even speaking. And the Indian stopped, looked over him, and he got real quiet, didn't say anything, and finally the guy quit speaking tongue, and he looked over at the Indian, and the Indian guy said to him, "Where did you learn how to speak my language?" And he said that he basically, the Lord was talking to him and bringing him the gospel when he was doing that, and it settled him down. He started listening, and he came to the Lord through that, but it was the same idea. This guy was just going nuts in his car, getting angry and violent, and then when he started opening his mouth or he was praying out loud, it just came out in his native tongue, the Indian's tongue, and then the Indian stopped dead in his tracks. So that was an interesting story, too.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. That's a good story. Anybody else?
Yeah, I got a testimony I can share on that. This was about maybe 3 years ago or so. I remember feeling a really heavy burden one day until I just had to sit down and start praying, and I went into a spirit of travail and pray in tongues for, it was something like an hour to 2 hours. It was at least over an hour, and it was about a week and a half or two later, I was talking with my mom on the phone up in, it was her and my dad and an older sister of mine living in a townhouse up there in the Twin City area in Minnesota, and she shared with me that the pilot light on their furnace had gone out, and somebody came to look at it a week later. They didn't know it had gone out, but they knew something was wrong with the furnace, so somebody went to look at it to see what the problem was about a week after that, and he was just amazed. He said, "You all should have been dead days ago, because carbon monoxide had been leaking into their townhouse for a whole week." And so the Lord just reminded me of that time of travail and praying in tongues that he moved me into, and that he had saved their lives through that. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Praise God Chad, praise God for us being obedient to get up and pray when the Lord prompts us to do that. You know, we've done that ourselves many times at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The Lord will wake me up and I'll be praying, like you said, an hour or so in the spirit until I get a release, and don't know where it was. Don't know who was in trouble. I just know that I had to pray. Probably won't know this side of heaven, but that's okay. Anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? I'm about running out of options here. I'd sing a song, but I'm afraid I'd run everybody off. Malcolm, you got your piano handy?
Hold on. Well, my daughter is sleeping.
Okay.
I already made the mistake of I noticed that her car was here. So I thought she went over to her grandmother's place to help her fix up some snacks and stuff for some kids they're helping out. And so I cranked up the organ and waxed rather eloquent. I didn't floor it, but I had the Leslie going on and off, and I had a lot of fun. And all of a sudden the phone rang, and she called on her cell phone right in the house to wake to get my attention. She couldn't. I woke her up out of a sound sleep. She said the whole house is shaking, which it was. I better pass. I'm off the grid here, so I gotta. This organ is earlier than 1953, and of course the electrolytic caps, they're only one. You can only put voltage one way. You can't go the other way. It's electrolytic. But anyway, they dry out and get old after a while, and so I'm in the process of trying to replace them. But I've got some serious humming because we have a modified square wave inverter running the house, which means it's not a nice, pretty, fine wave like most people that are on the grid get. It's got these little stair steps that make tons of noise. Lots of noise if your capacitors are kind of wimpy. So usually what you have to do is beef up your capacitance so you can round it out, suck it up. Anyway.
Okay.
Electronics.
There you go.
Lord, give us more capacity for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Capacitance.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was thinking about when I received the Holy Spirit, and I grew up in a church that was very, dead set against that and things, everything along the lines of the miraculous and the Holy Spirit and the gifts. And boy, I had to really search the New Testament to see the truth on it. And I was thinking of this, the place where Jesus says, making void the word of God by your tradition. And I don't know if I ever really quite saw that way, because I always thought of, making void obedience to commandments or, obeying what God has said. But I can see, it just came to me that the tradition that we can have can void out the word where it doesn't have power to work in us. So even though we see something in the Bible, and even if we're trying to receive, I know it was hard for me, and I've heard that from other people and things I've read, that people that come from backgrounds where that's against that, it seems like they tend to have a harder time being filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe not being filled, but speaking in tongues. And so I just want to encourage anyone that still, might hear this that hasn't received that gift, to just look at all the occasions in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I found out is it uses such different terms, like baptizing the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit being poured out. And I charted it out one time, and I saw that it all connects to being the same thing. You can't make different things out of it, like what I was taught, that, well, there was this gift that the apostles had, and there was this gift that the early church, or, this measure that the early church had, but then there's a different measure that we have now. And I saw that just doesn't hold up at all. When you look at all those times in Acts when someone received that gift, and you see that it's talked about with different terms, but it's all the same thing, that really helped me. And just to secure your faith in what it says, that's what I had to do, and really just work that word into me, and it made all the difference. There is another thing I'd just like to add real quick, and that is a thing that helped me is when I came to a point, okay, I've got this understanding, but God just revealed to me my problem now was not about the Holy Spirit, it was about faith. It was an issue of faith, because I hadn't been taught faith, what it really was, and walking by faith, not by sight, and that it's things that we can't see, but we still believe just because the Word says that they're true. And I found that the Word, it talks about them receiving the Holy Spirit several times in the book of Acts, in Acts 2, Acts 8, and Acts 10. I know for sure in those times it says that they received the Holy Spirit. And I found out that when Jesus was on the cross and he was offered, and they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And I found that was the same word. It was the Greek word lambano, and I checked into that. And this really helped me a lot because I found out that it's not passive. It's something that you reach out and take, just like taking something with your hand. They couldn't make him receive it. He didn't receive it. They tried to give it to him, but he was not receiving it. And so it had to do with an active thing on his part. He could receive it or he could not receive it. And so it's not just a passive matter of, I know a lot of people just wait, like you're saying, and don't enter in by speaking, but it makes all the difference to receive by faith. And once I saw that, it changed everything. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just thinking that for me, it took me 9 months once I was really convicted that I was not really a Christian until I received the baptismal Spirit. And I went hither and yon. I went to New York from Washington State. I went down to California, all in an effort to receive the baptismal Holy Spirit. Our family put out a lot of money and that we didn't have, and that caused a problem because, you know, my wife was not in favor of my efforts to receive the baptism of the, because it was of the devil, you know. It wasn't until I just gave up and I said, Lord, I already have this. That's just the way it is, and I already have it. I'm not running into anybody else to get their hand, you know, get them to lay hands on me. It was at the point when I finally gave up. It was like exactly what I said, I'm not going anywhere else. And I said, I just take it because it's mine, and that's when I got it. So,
amen.
But I had sweet fellowship in the meantime. I mean, I remember laying in bed one time at somebody's house that, you know, I went to their house specifically to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I remember laying in the bed there, had my arms opened up to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to be receiving this from you, this language and everything, and I'm so excited. That was a very sweet time, even though it was many months later that it actually happened.
Well, I found out through the years of praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit that one thing that hinders them most is they don't open up their mouths and start speaking. You know, they think that the Holy Spirit. So I've started teaching that you have to open up your mouth and speak it, and the Holy Spirit will give you the utterance. You know, I can remember when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues was out in my shop. There wasn't nobody around me praying for me. I'd been prayed for before, but I hadn't had it yet. And I was just out there praising the Lord, and I just started stutter speaking. And then all of a sudden, this rain came out of heaven and went through me like a, oh my goodness, it was awesome, just like you talking about earlier. It was an awesome time with the Lord, and I had a full language at that time. I talked like a Chinaman, it sounded like, but that's okay. It was a full language. And I spent, gosh, I don't know how many hours out there just praising God and talking in tongues. And that's once you get it, that's what you need to do. You need to practice it often, every day. I do it continually all day long. You know, I find myself doing it. It's just a habit with me to be praying in the Spirit at all the time. So, all right. Anybody else have anything they'd like to talk about? And another thing, when you open your mouth, don't speak in English. Speak those utterances that come up that the Holy Spirit gives you. They'll bubble up from inside, you know, and And you'll think it's something strange. You'll think it's embarrassing, but don't worry about it. That's the Holy Spirit. Nothing embarrassing about him. Praise God. All right. We're getting down here to closing time. Does anybody want to ask any questions about the Holy Spirit baptism or would like prayer or anything like that before we get out of here?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Matthew.
Question. How old do you think someone would have to be or matured before the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
We got kids in elementary school speaking in tongues here. So, you know, as soon as they're ready to speak in tongues, they can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As soon as they're ready to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, they can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's no age limit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Boy, it'd be great if they could get it at that age, you know, really, because they've got their whole life ahead of them, you know, such a, you know, ever how much longer we got here, but it'll give them that overcoming power. Praise God. They'll stay with them, too.
Yeah, Michael, when we were at the Prophecy Club meeting one time, we saw a four-year-old girl get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
I believe it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, Father, I know that there are others here that are probably seeking the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for just raining down on them the rain of the former rain of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them the language, the spiritual language that you want each one of us to have, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us. I praise you for the power that you've indwelt in each one of us, Father, that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you're getting us all ready for this bride, this small group of people, this bride that have already gone through the tribulations of getting out of the world and killing the flesh, Father. I thank you for that, Father, that you have done it in us. It's nothing that we could do. We had to rely on you. All of us have to, Lord. And you know, Lord, we most of us don't even know where we are in our walk with you. But Lord, we know by faith, we look in that mirror as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, and we see Jesus in there. And we know by faith that we're all walking that holy walk that you want us to walk, Lord. And that gets us into the bride. We've overcome the things that you've asked us to overcome. And we're walking by faith in you, Lord. And we praise you for that. Lord, we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory for filling up Joe today. Father, we thank you that he's speaking in tongues and he's going to utilize it at all times, Father. That's the power. That's to build up his faith, Lord, inside of him. And we praise you for it, Lord. Be with us tonight. Give us good dreams and visions about the things to come, Lord. And we ask that you protect us until we meet again on Thursday night, Lord. Actually, till you come, Lord. We thank you for that protection around each one of us, Father, that you're going to get. We thank you for the healings that have taken place tonight. We thank you that Pat's jawbone is restored as new. We thank you, Lord, that her gums are healed. And she's not, and the bleeding has stopped, and she is healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Bless you.